All right, thank you very much. Since I was given the opportunity to be an intern and offered that, I was thrilled and I jumped at the chance. And I knew Hyomin was going to be an intern at the same time. So I've loved every minute of it. You can turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. We'll be looking at verse 10. There is no kids program tonight. I was told that the kids wanted to hear me speak, so. All right. Well, anyway, but I've really enjoyed being here this summer and working with the kids in junior church and Wednesday nights and so forth has been awesome. Working with different Sunday school classes and being able to speak at those has been a stretch for me, which is good and healthy. but I'm thankful for that opportunity. Also, the Out West trip and the camp trip to the wilds, I thoroughly enjoyed. So all of that, thank you for allowing us to be here, Hyomin and I, the opportunity to be the interns for this summer. All right, so you should have turned to Philippians chapter 3, all right? And we're going to read verse 10 to 14. Actually, we'll start in verse 7. We'll start in verse 7 to 14. And it says this, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So in this passage, Paul is instructing us in verses 3 to 6, which we didn't read, to have no confidence in the flesh. You'll find that in verse 3. Because no matter how disciplined you may be, we all fall short of God's standard or law. In verses 7 through 9, Paul further tells us, rather than having confidence in our own righteousness, which is of the law, we ought to have confidence or trust in the righteousness which is of God by faith, verse 9. So what is the righteousness which is of God by faith? This is, in a sense, God's righteousness. So if you have personally accepted Christ as Savior, you put your dependence or faith in who Christ is and what he did for you, then God looks at you and he sees Christ's righteousness. But I would actually like to focus on verse 10 tonight, the phrase, that I may know him. What is it to know him? So tonight I want you to ask yourself, do I know Christ? And let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go through these verses, and I pray that you would help us see the instruction that's given here, Lord, that you give us the understanding that we need tonight, that we may live our lives in a manner that pleases you, and that you may receive the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I have a few jokes, first off. So imagine with me a man who's sitting in his office, okay? He's listening to the neighborhood children play, and as he absently listens to their conversations, he hears them talk. So there's three of them talking about their dads. So one said, "My dad knows the mayor." The next boy said, "Well, my dad knows the president." And he clearly hears his own son's voice saying, "My dad," and he's thinking, "Oh boy, what is he going to say this time?" And his son finishes with, "My dad knows someone better than that. He knows God." Now, how would you like someone to say that about you right off the top of their head? That's a pretty good statement there. So here's another one. There was a little boy named Randy who was bragging to his friends that he knew the governor. His friends asked, "What does he look like?" He said, "Oh, he's tall and he has a little bit of a big belly." All his friends said, "Wow, is he old?" And the little boy replied, "Well, he's not that old, but his hair is turning gray. Is he rich?" "Oh, he's rich all right. Does he drive a Cadillac?" "Better than a Cadillac, he rides in a limousine." Finally, one of the boys got tired of all the bragging and said, "I bet you don't even know the governor." And Randy replied, "Yes, I do. I met him once." So this is sadly how many live their lives in relationship to God. So my first question, I have four questions. First question is, do you know God? When I think of someone who knows God, I think of Enoch. Enoch in the Bible, he knew God. Genesis 5:24 says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Okay, so something that I notice here, knowing God is not simply an intellectual understanding of who God is and what he is about. Rather, it's a continual fellowship with God, and as you spend time with God, you begin to share the same desires and goals. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. So he, in order to walk with God, he was in agreement with God. So Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So you have to be in agreement. My second question is, knowing God your goal? So we're going to look at Philippians again. In verse 14, notice Paul had a goal. First, what was his goal? If you look at verse 8, it says, "that I may win Christ," okay? And notice the mark that he set for himself. In verse 14, it says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So first off, what is the mark, or what is the prize of the high calling of God? So I kind of Googled it to see what they said. And there was a few different responses, one of which told me that it was eternal life. Some said it was eternal life. However, we know that as a Christian, we already have eternal life. Okay, so Paul is already saved. He's not pressing toward eternal life. He already has eternal life. We cannot earn our way to heaven by doing good, and we cannot merit favor with God through our good works. Ephesians 2:9. Reminds us, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Isaiah 64:6, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." So it's certainly not eternal life. The prize of the high calling of God is named in verse 10, "that I may know him." The prize is knowing God. So why would you want to know God? Okay, that's my third question, kind of my thought pattern here. Why would you want to know God? Sometimes we don't want to get to know God because we don't want him to know us. We don't want to know God because we don't want him to know us, because we are ashamed of our sin. So we have a sense of shame. As far as having some shame, I have a story. There was some times, I'm sure you've had times where you didn't want anybody else to know who you were because of something you did or maybe something that happened. Well, I play piano. I've learned how to play. I started taking lessons in second grade. So with the piano lessons, often comes piano competitions or recitals. I was a part of a piano competition in the sixth grade. It's similar to Awana's, but it was a master club regionals where all the churches gather together and all the kids compete. Well, I had a piece that I memorized, and I could play it perfectly, and I thought it was going to be awesome. Well, the very beginning starts with a pattern, and if you start on the wrong note, it messes the entire song up. Well, I just happened to start on the wrong note. And so it was one of those things where if you memorize the music, you get more points for it. So I had memorized it, and I knew how to play it. but I started on the wrong note, and I could not figure out what I was doing wrong. I would mess up in the second line, and I couldn't get past it. So I restarted, which is very embarrassing if you're competing, to have to stop and restart. So then I restarted, and I still didn't get it. And then someone was pitiful enough to come over and show me the music, because he had to turn in the music to the judges. I was like, well, surely I'll get it this time. Nope, I didn't. So I went on, and I think I just had to quit, because I just could not figure out what I did. When you're at that spot, you get flustered, and you can't really think clearly. But anyway, so that's the kind of experience you have. You don't want anyone who was in that room to ever, like, come up to you again. Some people, they think they're being nice, and they come up and say, hey, you did a good job, maybe next time, but everybody knows you did a terrible job. You just admit it, you know? Don't try to cover it up. Anyway, so, are we ashamed of ourselves, and is that why we don't maybe have an initial desire to know God? Because we know if he knows us, there's a problem there. Let's see. Another instance. Oh, I actually have another example. I won't go there. That's enough. So anyway, point being, I didn't want anyone to talk to me in the same way. Sometimes we don't talk to Christ because we know there's an issue there. So again, why would you want to know God? Well, there's some other reasons. He is awesome. God is an awesome God. A lot of times I say awesome to things, and some people reprimand me and say only God is awesome, which is true. I mean, but anyway, I still like to use the word. Next, God is powerful. He's also a provider. Just some things that come to my mind. What would be a wrong view of God? Wrong view, maybe he is a taskmaster that only wants you to live a certain way and to do certain things. That's a wrong view. A better view is he's a loving, powerful, faithful, just God who wants to give you the opportunity to serve him, and he wants you to have the opportunity to glorify his name and honor him with your life. So maybe some here to say, would some, let's see here. I want to move on and say knowing God brings blessing. God's blessings are more enjoyable when we are following and obeying him rather than living in sin. That's another reason why we might want to know God. But the truth is, it's kind of like, have you heard of the Disney movie Aladdin? Now, I think they just came out with a new one. I haven't seen the new one, but I saw the old version once, so it's been a while. But who can forget the genie that Aladdin meets? Okay, and so they find the genie, and the genie gives them 3 wishes, and you know they become friends with the genie because the genie can help them out, right? Well, don't view God as a genie who can bring blessing into your life. So the whole point of knowing God is not that he'll bless your life. Now, he will bless your life. But if that's your goal is for the blessing, then you're missing the whole point. God's presence is the true reward. It's not the good things he might send your way. So many times in sharing Jesus with others, I've noticed I think we tend to misrepresent the gift that God gives us at salvation. We mention a lot of times that eternal life is given to us, which it is. We mention that we will be given a home in heaven, which we will be given a home in heaven. We know that there will be no suffering, no pain, and other believers will be there. And this is all true, but we seem to skip over the fact that the true reward of heaven is the fact that we, as a saved sinner, get to dwell in the presence of Almighty God. So, in thinking about the opposite, and hell, many people know that there'll be pain and gnashing of teeth, and there'll be fire. No doubt there'll be regrets and memories of the opportunities that they had to receive Christ, and yet they squandered and rejected Christ instead. But the true punishment of hell is the fact that they will never be able to be reconciled with the one who created them. And they'll never be able to dwell in Christ's presence. So, an illustration. When I was growing up, every now and then, My parents would go off on a trip, which every kid whose parents leaves on a trip, usually they're rejoicing. They get to, anyway. Sometimes you get to stay home. Sometimes your parents send you over to somebody else's house, which my parents never trusted us to stay home alone. So we were always sent somewhere else for supervision. But anyway, my brother and I would always get into some kind of trouble. It didn't matter where we went. We often did a lot of stupid stuff. So one particular time, I think we spent a whole week at my grandparents' house, and I don't know what age. We were probably like 6th grade, maybe 7th or 8th. I don't know. But some of the things we did, my mom was always good about feeding us breakfast in the morning, and we had a bowl of cereal every morning. Well, my brother and I had this awesome idea to see how much cereal we could eat in one morning. Well, my grandparents, you know, they have a big basement and they like to stock up on a lot of things. Well, they shopped at Sam's Club or Costco, and they had bulk cereal boxes, right? So it's not like a thing of cornflakes that you'd see at Walmart. It's this humongous box of cornflakes. And they had some other better cereals that were probably sweeter that we liked better, you know, cinnamon squares and stuff. But anyway, so it was my brother and I's goal to eat an entire box every day. And we planned this. There was like 5 boxes on top of the fridge. And we said, by the end of the week, we'll have all the cereal gone. And we actually, I think we did finish all that. And at the end of the week, Grandma was like, can I have a bowl of this? And he's like, we're out of that. How about this? We're out of that. And we thought it was hilarious until we got in trouble at the end of the week. So another thing, so my grandparents had a big property. They had walnut trees. I don't know if you have walnut trees on your property, but these are black walnuts. So they're really big, and they always drop the walnuts. Well, it was a nice piece of property, but after the walnuts have sat there and just kind of stayed in the mud forever, the property doesn't look that great. The grass doesn't grow, etc. Well, so it was our job to clean up all of the walnuts. And I mean, bag after bag, we had probably like 12 walnut trees on the property. So it was a lot of work. And I love sugar. Okay, so at some point, we went downstairs to the basement and we found these Tootsie Pops. They're like this big, they last forever, and then they have a Tootsie Roll in the middle. Well, I loved those. And I asked my grandpa for one. He said I could have one. And then I just, like, when it got lower, I just, like, switch out the lollipops. And I pretend like that one was the one I'd had all day. And I had, like, probably 12 or 13, but Grandpa didn't know. So anyway, so some different shenanigans. Probably one of the worst ones, we had stuffed animals in the room that we stayed at. And Grandma loved her stuffed animals. She had them all on the shelf. And it was, like, a whole shelf of them, like 3 or 4 tiers. And we like stuffed animals, too. They made a big deal about how we could sleep with one, which we didn't normally do that at home. So that was kind of cool. But we had to stay in bed till a certain time, which is kind of normal. But my brother and I would always wake up like 2 or 3 hours beforehand. So we got into an animal a toss. We were throwing them across the room at each other. And I think we like ripped one of the limbs at one point. And we just kind of stuck it on the shelf and hid it and pretended it didn't happen. Or one of the heads, I think, popped off too, which is pretty bad. But anyway, we thought, nobody will know. She never touches that shelf. Well, lo and behold, a month later, she's reorganizing the animal shelf. And yeah, your consequences do come up. Maybe not immediately, but so at the end of the week, my parents would always ask Grandma and Grandpa if we were good. You ever have that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach? I had that quite often growing up. It seemed like we were always in trouble, but we would have fun throughout the week, but then we'd end up paying for it later. So when the punishments were all over, though, I'd feel a lot better, and the sinking feeling would go away, because after apologies were made and the consequences were over, the relationship with my parents was, in a sense, restored. And there was peace again. So in the same sense, you know, being in the presence of God and having a restored relationship is a reward in and of itself. So if you want to turn over to John 15, we're going to look over there for a little bit, and you can kind of stay in John 15. So John 15, and I want to look at verse 5. Okay, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So, in this verse, we have mentioned the vine and the branches. Now, in junior church today, even, we sang that a song that talked about Jesus being the rock of our salvation. And also talked about how he feeds us at his banqueting table. I don't think I've quite found the verse for that, but I know that's Hillman's favorite verse. At least I say that. So, but also the last one, he is the vine and I'm the branch. And we have motions for all of that, which is, makes it more fun. But I want to focus on that last phrase in the verse. For without me, you can do nothing. So our purpose is to glorify God and to glory in Christ. And if we don't have Christ, then there's nothing more. The presence of God is a big thing. So my last question, how do you get to know God, okay? So we know that we ought to know God, okay? There's two avenues I want to mention, okay? Number one is listening to God and his word. And also number two is talking and walking with him. So if you never talk to God and you never listen to what God says when he speaks to you through his word, you'll never have the desire to know him, and you'll never be in agreement with him. Fairly simple conclusion there. So it's hard to follow God if you don't have any desire to, right? First, you have to change your desires, which I've mentioned this before, but that changing your desires is possible. God can change your desires. If you read Psalm 37:4, which you don't have to turn there, is delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires in thine heart. One of these truths I learned, and I really liked how it was, but delight thyself also in the Lord. So first you delight yourself in the Lord. As you get to know him, as you spend time with him, your desires begin to change to be in agreement with him. Okay, and in that sense, once you've spent that time with God and you've aligned yourself with what God wants, that's when he gives you the desires of thine heart, because your desires are the same as God's desires, and that's when your prayers are answered. So, a cool truth there. Kind of changed the topic a little. At Christmas time, okay, it's common to buy gifts for people and for family or friends, but how many find it hard to figure out what other people want? Now, you know, maybe it's because we're a little bit selfish and we don't necessarily pay attention to everybody. A lot of times there can be a debate as to whether or not it's harder to find a gift for a guy versus a lady. Figuring out if I can find a present for my mom, I think, is a lot easier than finding something for my dad, just because, you know, dad buys whatever he wants. And mom sometimes too, but there's more little stuff that I can get from mom. But anyway, one year, my dad kept saying throughout the whole year that he loved Skippy peanut butter. Now, my dad loves peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, so every time he pops out the peanut butter jar from the pantry and it was Jif, he would complain, you know. He would complain that it was Jif, and he says, you know, Jif is for choosy mothers, which I think is what the commercials say. But he likes Skippy, you know, the creamy kind. He'll eat the crunchy, but the creamy kind's the best. So Skippy. I think the Peter Pan one is for kids. I didn't ever really care for that one, but anyway, so I agreed with my dad. I like Skippy too. So instead of Jiffy. So we kind of had a phrase, instead of see you in a Jiffy, we said see you in a Skippy. it was kind of funny. But anyway, he made such a big deal of this that at Christmas time, all of the relatives decided to get, each person would get him a gallon of Skippy peanut butter. So everyone else is getting like normal Christmas gifts, and every gift he gets is a gallon of peanut butter. And it came to, like, after the fifth or sixth one, he kind of figured out that the next one was going to be the same thing and so on. But anyway, so we always said, be careful what you wish for, you just might get it. But anyway, so point being, the desire there. If you want to know God, you must listen to God and his word, and you must walk with him. So listening to God means obedience to his word. So it's not just hearing, but listening. and obeying what he says. Walking with God, listening to God means obedience to his word, and walking with him involves spending time with God. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 instructs us to pray without ceasing, which we know praying is talking to God. Also, John 14:15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So don't forget the reason that we follow Christ. Our motivation is love for Christ, okay? When you study the Gospels and John, this is kind of a neat fact that I noticed. Actually, someone else shared with me that I thought was really good. When you study the Gospels and John in particular, something interesting is to note is the fact that John is known as the beloved disciple. And a lot of us have heard that. But why was John the beloved disciple? John chapters 13, 19, and 20 all mention the fact that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Naturally, the question comes to mind, did Jesus play favorites? You know, I don't know if you had parents and you were one of a number of siblings and maybe your parents seemed to favor one or the other. I just have one twin brother, and so it wasn't really about that. It was about who got into more trouble rather than who got more rewards. But anyway, point being, Jesus didn't necessarily play favorites. I thought this was really cool. Notice John is the one who wrote the book, and it's really only found in John. He is the only one that said Jesus loved him. So John declared himself as the beloved disciple, which I thought was really cool. So how often do we sing songs about our love for Jesus when truthfully our hearts are distant? Maybe we should be like John and really readily proclaim Christ's love for us rather than maybe ours for Christ. But in conclusion, knowing God is a must for any believer. Though we may fail at times, he is faithful to us and blesses us even when we don't deserve it. As we learn to love God, living in a way that pleases God becomes much simpler. So I want to ask you a question again. Do you know him? Is your goal like Paul's? Are we pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? That I may know him. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for these truths, and I pray that you would help us remember these, and I pray that you would receive the glory for it as we learn to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.